There was this young lady one day. She drove for the first time on the highway. Listen to the story. She drove for the first time on the highway. And suddenly the husband rang him up and said, "Dolly, be careful. Don't come up on the radio that somebody drive on the wrong side of the highway." And she replied to the phone call and said, "Dolly, you, that's true. It's hundreds of them that drive on the wrong side." Hallelujah. So I wanted to share with you this morning something that really been to my heart for a long time. And I'm not sure if you're really going to make it that message to burn to your heart. I wanted to talk into you a verse of the Bible that in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. If you have no Bible, just sit next to somebody. They will help you out. So in the Old Testament, Leviticus, I think, verse 6. So if you have it with you, please open it up in your Bible and you have a look. And here we see very interesting story. Sometimes we forget to think about or to making that into a life account. Here there is the most important story that, if like Brother Shunchin would say, that we intended to delete the Old Testament because we all live in New Testament. Let me tell you something. Jesus never deleted the Old Testament. Jesus actually completed the New Testament and bring it to action. And we should be obedient to the whole Bible, amen? To the whole book of the Bible, because that is your daily bread, amen? And that is your daily life, walking day by day with God, amen? They said, "Do not let the fire to go out of the altar." If you read that, the fire on the altar must be keep it burn. It must be not go out. Every morning the priest is to add the firewood and arise the burn offering on fire and burn the fat of the offering into the first must be keep it burn into the altar continually. It must be not go out. Father, we pray this morning that you give us the wisdom to understand what you try to tell in us. Lord, we pray that your presence be with us in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. So we want to talking about this morning, don't let the fire go out of the altar. Now, for some people, the altar is the stage where people go and worship God. For some people, the altar is where the pastor, the priest is preaching. The reality, the altar, it is where God's presence lives into your heart today. So they said not to permit that the fire will be gone off from the altar. Now, I wanted to bring it to consideration what the Bible tried to tell us about the fire burning on the altar. The Bible first mentioned the altar, if you take attention to this, the first time that the Bible talk about the altar, it's talking about in Genesis chapter 20, when Noah actually come out of the boat, with him and his family, and the entire creation that God was saving on this world, they come on the flesh, on the land, the way the water was completely dry. So he built an altar, and he got some clean ammo and kill and burn to honor God for the glory that God had done to save the life of this family, of these people. Because God is saving the life of the creation. In other words, here will become that the altar representing Jesus. Amen. So that's what he actually burned an offer into the Lord. That's the first time we see that the altar was talking about in the Old Testament. Now in Genesis chapter 8 verse 16, you'll see the whole story that Noah was completely constructed this altar and built an altar to have a God presence in his life. Now, but the altar also represented the place of worship God. Hello? The altar represented the place of worship God, that you can come to the church and we worship God together. There is an encounter with God. There is that we become encounter with the presence of the Lord. So altar offering is to become your family when you get together and pray for the family. Amen. Where God will bless you from glory to glory. Day by day, you should have an altar that you can present yourself as a living sacrifice into the presence of the Lord. Amen. So glory be to God. So we needed to bring an altar for the glory, for the presence, for the majesty, for the power of the living God into your life. We needed to bring the altar into the presence of God, whatever you are, whatever you're doing. Amen. So the altar represented God's presence in your life, in your presence. Not let the of the altar to be the fire gone out, because then there will be danger if it has no fire in the altar. Amen. So God is commanded, when Moses built the altar, they said to Moses, the altar, they should be continually have a light, have a fire, because they represent God's presence. Amen. So we said that we needed to bring yourself into the presence of the altar. There is the glory, there is the presence, they are the majesty, they are the power, they are God living sacrificed for you and me. And the fire on the altar should never keep it out. They should burn it day and night. And the priests shall continue to feed the altar with the wood so that the fire will never switch it off. On the next place where the altar was built, continual fire, we see in the Old Testament there was the Ark of the Lord. There was next to the altar. If some of you don't know what the Ark of the Lord was representing, the Ark of the Lord was representing God's presence. Amen. The God presence, they mean that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Because of whatever they do, if you remember the story, when they want to conquer something from the land of the Old Testament, they bring the Ark of the Lord, because the Ark will go before them and the people will follow God. And if God is in front of you, there will be nobody can touch your life. So let the altar in your heart never be switched off from the presence of the Lord. Hello? Amen. We have people sometimes cry about God is not answer my prayer. God is not answer my prayer. Not long ago, I share a testimony. Their really life testimony. And Gilbert is here and he can testify. How many years, Gilbert? How many years? You said 1995. 20 years. 20 years ago. Huh? 1994. 20 years ago. 20 years ago, Gilbert's come here in Australia with no money on the pocket. No job. This is true. You can say yes or no. And so after one week or 2 weeks, he come to church. I decided to go and visit him like I do with everybody else. So when somebody come from overseas, I feel sorry for them. I just go and say, oh, let me go and pray for them. So I went to see him. He was living on a very small room here at the International House. And they has only a small suitcase. You can put it on the back of the car and go whatever we want. And then he told me the story. He has a family back at home. He has no job here. He has no money. So I always said, we start to pray. And I remember we start to pray. And for God to open doors, soon after we pray, a position will come available at Newcastle University. You remember telling me if I'm wrong. So the position will come available. But so many people apply for the position. Some of them has a priority because they are Australia. And according to Australia government, you don't let to employ somebody from outside until these people will be taking the position. So we started to pray. I remember that he was praying with us. We have a prayer meeting, we pray. We have a Bible study, we pray. Because the first thing he said, well, let's start and have a Bible study. We pray. Amen. Is the position become a valuable thing? So many was applied, but Gilbert was on top of the list. And he got the position. So next the position. So he became a lecturer in University in Newcastle. I'll share your story with somebody else, because this man, not long ago, he was really cry about the days, God did not answer my prayer. I needed to go home. I have no job. And I told him the story. If you were consisting to pray, we pray for a couple of years, I think, you know. So he got the job, and so we started to pray. No, because there's another big problem coming up. I got 5 children at home. I got my beautiful wife. And I wanted to be here. So you have no money to pay for them. So we keep in pray. And God opened doors. Amen. I think any university pay for the whole family to come here. Amen. And so Gilbert and Priscilla and Pamela, there was a little children. Amen. There was a little children. And I remember Gilbert told me, I told Gilbert, what would you like to do in the church? He said, I want to do that. There was an overhead projector sitting over here with some slides. So he wanted to put it out. We have a big man there that was doing for years. And I was thinking, we're going to push him away to put a Gilbert there. So I said to Gilbert, sit next to him and see what he's doing. So the next day, he'll sit next to him, and they started to put these slides up. So looking today is worship the Lord and preach the word. Amen. So the story that I've been up and I wanted to tell you this morning, never give up. Never let the altar burn into your heart. Today is Gilbert is employer for Australian government at the higher place in Canberra. Amen. Who knows if we'll take the position of the Prime Minister very soon. You never know. Amen. This is what God can do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let the fire to go out of your heart. Amen. Don't let the fire to be. Don't smile, Priscilla. You come to Newcastle. Don't worry. Newcastle is your home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gilbert said, I will never live in my city. There's a beautiful city. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I have so many stories to tell you, but I'll leave it for next time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The altar not only is on the church time. So some people said, I'm going to the church and today I'm dressed really good. I hope that the pastor is liking me. If I, case don't talk, don't hug you, don't kiss you, do you think I don't love you? That's not true. I still love you. The only thing I worry about when I don't see you. Amen. Amen. So the altar is not only on the church, but the altar is on your life. Amen. The altar should be God's presence in your life. If the altar is not on your heart, you need to search your heart and see if there's something wrong with your heart and remove it and let the altar of the Lord to build it into your heart. Amen. Because then you will be life for you, that the life of the candle will never stop to burn lights. The altar is a worship God. The altar is a holiness. It's a place when you can receive God's glory into your life. The altar is a place of refuge when you have a problem. Amen. The altar is a place that you can go to God and talking to Him as a friend. The altar is a place where you can talk into the mighty God as your own friend. Let me tell you something. Abraham was talking to God as a friend. Amen. Jacob, when he has a problem with his brother, he was a refuge and a building an altar to talk into God. And we know the story that Jacob, when he saw God's presence for the whole night, in the presence of God, God changes your name and said, from today on, your name will be not the same again. Because the presence of God can change your heart. So the altar represents the Holy Spirit into your heart, and that He will lead you from day by day, from glory to glory, from power to power, from blessing to blessing. Amen. Now the altar is Jesus. Amen. That Jesus said, come to me if you have a problem, and I will give you rest. Amen. Because my yoke is not heavy, and my yoke is very light. If you have a problem, you come to me. So if we have any problem into our life, we can run to Jesus as an altar to His presence. And they said, come to me, you that you have a burden, because my yoke is light. Amen. So that is the altar that we needed to consider this morning, to go to Jesus' presence. Let me give you one more thing. Don't bring your family to Sodom, but bring your family to Jesus. I see a lot of people in our church, outside the church, they call themselves a Christian, but they bring their family Sunday morning, soccer, or the football, or whatever it is. I have nothing against a soccer or football, but bring your family to Jesus. Because if you bring your family to Jesus, your family will be blessed. Amen. Your family will be blessed. And many families that we saw, they might be husband and wife, I come to church, but the children, they can't come to church because a sport cannaboy on. Or maybe some other activity around, or maybe something else. I wanted to tell you should bring your family into the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. To make you understand on this phrase I'm talking about, I'm going to take you to this morning, Abraham and Lot example. You know the story very well. Abraham and Lot was a nephew, an uncle. So when they come to the crash, they could not live longer together. Abraham said to his nephew Lot, take in the place you like better. Amen. And we see that Lot took the glory of this earth. But Abraham took in the altar of the living God. So you know the story of what happened. This story is continually. Abraham took the glory of the altar. And even today, we're talking about Abraham of glory. We're talking about Abraham of friend with God. We're talking about the blessing that we have. We're talking about the church. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what happened with the story of Lot. Lot went to Sodom. Sodom represented the world. All of the beautiful the world, it finished very quickly. And no longer they would cry. So what happened? So he lost his young family. He even lost his young wife because when consequences come, there was no altar to worship God. The angel of the Lord, because of the prayer that Abraham had, they went to say to Lot, leave this city, leave this place, leave Sodom, go, and don't look back, because if you're looking back, you actually die. So, and that's what happened. So my question is, bring your family into the altar, Jesus. Don't bring your family into Sodom, because Sodom represented the world that make you cry. You know, the pressure of the wall is only living for a short time. But the glory of the altar lives forever. Amen. The altar is the tree of the cross. Jesus was in the cross of Calvary. The symbolic of the cross is an altar, because there on the cross, Jesus worshiped his Father. We see this very simple picture there. We see two criminals on the cross too. One actually argument with Jesus, why I got to be on the cross. He argument with Jesus about the sin. But the other one, on the other side, they say to Jesus, remember me when you are in paradise.
Remember me when you are in paradise. He actually repented for whatever he had in his life. And Jesus looked at him on the altar of the Calvary and they said to him, today you are in paradise with me. Today you are in paradise with me. I wonder where you stand you today. If your reality is to grab the altar of the Lord and put it into your heart. Jesus wasn't found himself between the two criminals. Humiliated himself. One was keeping yelling about the condition of his sin. The other one was calling forgiveness. Recognize the sin he making. Asking Jesus, remember me when you are on the heaven. Remember me when you go on to heaven. And Jesus said, today, my son, you will be with me in paradise. Where is your altar, my dear friend? Where is your altar? How many are willing to grab the grace of the altar? How many of you? My question is, you can call yourself a Christian, but if the altar of the Lord is not on your heart, you only a number, but not really fully of Christ. The altar of the gospel, the altar of God, the presence, living in your presence. In Exodus 33, verse 13, Moses got to the altar of God and said to God, God, show me your way. Am I see favor in your eyes? Show me your presence, your glory, that I will follow you. In other words, he said, he gone to the altar at the presence of the Lord. This is we're talking about the Moses. We're already talking to God face to face. They see the presence of the Lord. It's shame your way. Make him see your face. Go in front of me. Because if you not be with me, I cannot go. Shame your way. Give me your favor. Give me your presence. Show me your glory. So Moses, he built a mini altar, whatever is go, into the presence of the Lord. Let me give you another example. When Joshua he actually leave the wilderness from the wilderness from the Egypt to go to the promised land, they went through the river of Jordan. On the deep on the river Jordan, they said to every personality that was in charge of the trouble, said, pick up the rock on the bottom of the sea and bring it with you out. When did he call it out on the dry land? He built it with the 12 rocks an altar for the Lord and worship God. In that moment, when he built the altar for the Lord, the presence of God said to him, take your shoes off. Because this is the holy place. When you build an altar into your heart, nobody can touch you. The devil has no power into your life. No long ago, talking to a young lady that she has in trouble with a boyfriend. And said, Pastor Tony, I cannot take it anymore. I cannot do this. This is going to be beyond my possibility because the devil destroyed my life. Let me tell you something. The devil will destroy your life only if you permit him to do that. He has no power into your life if it's an altar being built into your heart. Amen. Because you can tell the devil behind my back, behind my life, and standing in the presence of God. If you ready to build the altar into your heart, and let the fire of the Lord to burn into your heart. No one can touch you because God, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we stand before the presence of the Lord?